few. So, and you've sold this year's ball has the most tickets sold ever. Ever. So that's great. Awesome. Okay, so this is a center update with Dr. Gary, an opportunity for me to share a little bit about what happens sometimes behind the scenes that's not apparent to us on Sundays. I just want to mention that we're going to have a workshop this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. for our congregation, for anyone who's interested in getting your very own mind movie made for you by one of our production mind movie production team members. So the mind movie production team has been meeting and has been working to learn the system, and soon they will be available to meet with our congregation and together create the movies. We're working with a congregational-wide process of visualizing for the new year a greater good for ourselves personally and for the church. And so for those of you who want to participate in this, then Wednesday evening is an event for you. So about how many of you think you're going to be available Wednesday? Please raise your hand so I have a sense. So we had about 10 or 15 in the first service, another 20 or so. So we'll do this again. There's always a first wave, and then when all of you have found out what you've missed, then you'll want to get involved, right? Because every one of us who is doing this is going to, you know, we'll be manifesting all kinds of great things, and you'll be feeling left out, and then you'll want to get up to speed, and then we'll have our next scheduled one. But if you want to be the first, and so not behind the curve, well then, you know, in Unity, we don't use guilt. We use performance anxiety. You don't want to be the only one that doesn't have a mind movie. I'm just saying. Just saying. Okay, so next we have Sue Terry with a life hack for us today. Thanks, Sue.
I feel privileged to share with you something that has helped me. I may have a tendency at times to get too busy and burn the candle at both ends, or procrastinate. And Eckhart Tolle has a deck of cards. He wrote a book called The Power of Now, and this has been something that I've referred to when I need to prioritize my day. Is there something that you should be doing but are not doing? Get up and do it now. Alternatively, completely accept your inactivity, laziness, or passivity at this moment, if that is your choice. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Just sit back in your seat and relax. Close your eyes if that's comfortable for you. And begin to focus on your breath. It's in every breath I take, God in everything. The earth is saturated with the presence of God. And as we just take a moment to get still, to put aside the cares, the worries, the shoulds, just let them go and become very present to the now. As we begin to focus on our breath, following it in and out. And with each breath, we relax a little more as we imagine breathing right into our heart space. You can put your hand on your heart if that helps to do that. And now bring into your mind's eye someone or something that you deeply appreciate. And allow that feeling of appreciation to begin to bubble up from within and spill out beyond your heart as it fills your body with this high vibration of appreciation. Feel every cell being invigorated, on fire, with appreciation and gratitude. So we breathe into the heart and allow that vibration to move beyond the body as we radiate gratitude, filling the sacred sanctuary and moving beyond the walls. And we hold in our hearts all those who are in need of prayer support, surrounding them and folding them with comfort, strength, peace. We know that spirit is our source, that each one of us is connected to the divine at the depths of our being, that there is only oneness, and that love is what we are, and that as we send that love forth, we are blessing the world. And so we continue breathing into the heart, feeling appreciation and radiating it from beyond the body as we enter the silence together. Thank you, Blessed Spirit, for the truth that sets us free, that we truly are one in the Spirit, that there is no separation, that love is the bridge, that as we turn within and allow Spirit to move through us and be expressed, we are being who we have come here to be the one to make the difference, to extend a hand, to see the truth with and for each other of the one life in the many expressions. And for this truth, we give grateful thanks. And so it is. Amen.
All right, house lights. Lights. Got to see. That's better. That's better for me. Thank you. All right. So this is a talk about transforming what we're having, and obviously it pertains to what we're having that is hard for us to have, because obviously when we have good stuff going on, we don't have a problem with that. And so our primary issues with what we're having is that what we're having makes us feel crummy, or bad, or awful, or terrible, or depressed, or sick, or lonely, or afraid, or not good enough. And so today's talk is about giving you help if you have one of those things going on. So we're going to get there today, okay? Does that sound okay? Sound appropriate? First, I want to just share a little bit about the context from which I share each Sunday. And so most of you know that part of my background has been in martial arts, that I've taught and practiced martial arts for over 30 years. I'm a fourth degree black belt in Taekwondo. And part of the way in which I do ministry, I do it as if I am a martial art instructor and I'm teaching you all how to be black belts. Okay, so that's where I'm coming from. Now, the challenge that I have as being a teacher and being a black belt and asking you to be like me, basically. I'm showing you the moves. I'm helping you understand how to be in situations that appear to be dangerous or harmful or disconcerting. And so that's my effort, is to give you skills, to give you superpowers for being able to be with whatever you're having without feeling diminished by it. Now, wouldn't that be a superhero quality that you'd like to deploy with whatever's going on? So given that, part of the challenge that I have is that everybody's in a different place. Can you imagine that? So when I would teach martial arts, I would have a very full auditorium where you'd have beginners as well as the advanced students. You'd have black belts and white belts and everywhere in between, all coming together to basically learn and improve their skills around the purpose, the intention to, well, defend oneself or to feel more confident or feel healthier or whatever is the purpose for why a person goes and takes a martial arts class. There are a lot of different reasons. There's a lot of different reasons why all of you are here today. Some of you have been brought into a relationship with a spiritual community such as Unity is because for whatever reason in your life, there have been circumstances that have really caused you to question and to be wondering about how things are and how things are supposed to work. And so whatever is the reason for being here in the training room or in the dojo or in the sanctuary, what is our purpose for coming here? The instruction basically is to engage everyone at their own level, recognizing that if I focus too much on just giving the advanced students what they need, then those who are just early in the process, beginners, white belts, they feel left out. They don't feel it's relevant. But if I focus too much on the beginners, the newbies, then those of you who are really waiting for something to really take you to the next level, you sort of feel like, oh, it didn't happen. Didn't happen yet. So the challenge is, how can we create a teaching where it has something for everybody? So that's the challenge. So here's the teaching that's for everybody, regardless of who you are or what you're having right now as your experience that may or may not be comfortable or okay or something that is really life-giving to you. If there's something else going on, well then, so be it. But the point is that what we all need to understand is that everything that we have, with no exception, is our abundance, is for us, without any exception. Now, the reality is that it appears, it seems as if, and indeed the world would help us validate and confirm whatever evidence that we have at work in our life, that there are circumstances that we are likely facing where the world would say, yes, that's awful, that's terrible, that sucks to be you, if that's what's going on. In other words, we have all of the support we need to validate our experience that there are some situations that we can have that are indeed against us. And isn't that what our world does for us? It supports us in being a victim. It supports us in being less than. It supports us in being unworthy or not good enough or not okay. I mean, you just have to turn on the TV at 5 o'clock and listen to the commercials, and we get a sense of what's missing for us in our own personal lives. And then when we have to look at what's happening in our life experience, we can feel so overwhelmed by what's happening because what we have sometimes contradicts this sense that it's all for us. So I want us to kind of have a connection with something that's real so that when I talk about how to be with a difficult situation, you have something that you can apply a teaching to. And so I want you to think about what you're having right now in your life that may be difficult for you. And I want you to think of it in terms of its intensity for a moment, like on a scale of 1 to 10. So 10 would be whatever this is, it's so devastating and traumatic that you just can't hardly function at all. And one is it's no big deal. And so I'm wanting you to think in terms of what you're having in your life right now, or if you don't have something that really comes to you, imagine what's happening for the people that you know. And I want you to think about the conditions that they're dealing with or struggling with, and imagine for them what level of intensity it might be, 8 or 7 or 5, and have a sense of what that is. And so what I'd like you to do is get with somebody and just talk about an experience that you're having or that you know someone is having, and then before you finish that conversation, say what number it is. It's 8, it's 9, it's 10. So there's a sense of appreciation for what's being shared. So go ahead and get with somebody. Just talk about a situation that you or somebody else has that has some intensity to it. Give it a number. Okay, time's up. Sorry, time's up. I didn't give you a lot of time. All right, take as much time as you like. All right. Thank you, partner. So let me just do a little survey here. How many of your conversations landed on something that you or somebody else is having that is a 7 or higher? Just sort of look around and see that in this room there are people that either are dealing with or know of somebody that has something really significant that's going on, 7 or higher. How about 5 or higher? Just raise your hand. So that's a major portion of all the people who are in this room. And so our tendency is that when we have something in our life that looks and feels against us, it becomes something that defines us. Have you ever had that experience of feeling yourself defined by what you're having? Now let me ask you this question. Given all the examples of having something that's difficult to be with, how many of those circumstances were related to issues of health? Okay, several hands. How about issues of career or livelihood? Okay. How about issues of relationship harmony or difficulty? How about issues of what's happening in the world today? I mean, do you feel helpless or powerful with respect to what's going on? Sometimes. Sometimes helpless, right? And so it's important for us to acknowledge that there are experiences that we have that we're subjected to that have the power, if we are not in the practice of being with what we're having from the context of being a black belt, and I'll say more about that in just a moment, that when we don't have skills, when we don't have resources, it's very easy for us to believe that what we're having is something that is a burden that we must bear. And how many of the things that we have or we talked about having affect other people? In other words, while I may be having a health challenge and I need to know that my health challenges affects the people who are connected to me, right? And so all of us have issues or have struggles that affect people well beyond our little circle. And so when we can be able to arrive at a place where we could be with our difficult situation and demonstrate how it's really for us, then all those people who are connected to us are somehow lifted up. Can you see how that's so? That when we're able to be with a difficult situation and demonstrate to whoever is watching us that we're okay. At some fundamental level, we're okay. We're going to make it. We're going to get to the other side of this. That helps us all, doesn't it? When we have people in our life who are able to walk that path and be that guide for us, that example for us. And so part of our work together is to come up with a lot of those stories, a lot of those examples. You know, and I'm going to share a story from my past. I just want to remind you that several months ago, I had made the comment that here I am, 66 years old, and I've had a rich career as a minister, been a minister most of my adult life, and so I've had lots of experiences. And if I'm going to talk about my experiences, and these experiences where I've made lots of mistakes, where you can see how I've been in my own personal struggle to lift myself out of my own victimhood and get to a place where I have transformed what I experienced into something that was for me. In order for me to talk about my experience, I have to be able to talk about some of the very stupid things that I have done in my past without you holding it against me. Do you remember that conversation?
Yes.
And did you also remember that we acknowledge that by virtue of me sharing some of the really stupid things that I've done in my life, that you'll actually feel better because of that. Okay, so I just wanted to remind you of this, because what I'm about to share is not a very pleasant thing to talk about in terms of here I am, your minister. And so let me just preface it this way. How many of you have ever failed in a relationship before? Okay, thank you. I feel somewhat less vulnerable now that we've sort of all coughed up the fact that part of our challenge in this journey is to be able to be in relationships, and when relationships end, not to take on a lot of baggage. But the real issue is that most of the time when a relationship ends, we heap on the baggage, either on ourselves or whomever has been part and party to the process. And so I'm wanting to talk about my career as a minister, because most of my mistakes have been made as a minister, and most of my mistakes are embarrassing. So I was brought into Unity when I was 20 years old. My first wife was born and raised in Unity, and so David McClure was my first minister. And so I went into ministerial school when I was 28 years old. I graduated when I was 30. And I was the very first ministerial candidate to be placed from my class. I was able to acquire the highest paying ministerial assignment ever in the history of new ministers who graduated from ministerial school. I had the dean of the ministerial program introduce me to my new congregation in Tulsa, Oklahoma at this time, 1980, introducing me in the sense that here is Reverend Gary Simmons, 30 years old, now beginning his ministry. And isn't that interesting how Jesus, when he was 30 years old, began his ministry? And I wasn't liking the parallels. I was sort of getting this kind of feeling like I was being set up. Anyway, I was 30 years old. I was fresh out of ministerial school. And I just had a newborn. My daughter was just born. My son was just 2.5, 3 years old. And so we moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And here I was, my first ministry. And within about 18 months, I was asked to resign. And my marriage fell apart. And I entered into a new relationship with someone in the church, not Jane. She wanted to make that perfectly clear. No, Jane would be not wife number two, not wife number three. Jane would not be wife number four.
Where are you, wife number five?
No, Jane is not wife number five. So, we'll just sit down for now. So I'm a black belt at relationships now. But let me just say that in the course of that embarrassing situation where I lost my ministry, I lost my family, and I lost all dignity, I became the case study for what not to do as a new minister in a ministry, and I was talked about at the ministerial program. I lost my credentials. A total, anyway, However, I don't even have a word for how I was. But the point is that I really believed that this was something that I was having that was against me. I mean, how could something like that be for you? You know, was my thinking. And so that's the situation that I'm going to describe with respect to how do I be with a moment like that and translate that into my abundance. But first of all, I want to answer the question with respect to why we have difficult life situations. Because we need to understand that the reason why we have difficult life situations is always the same. No matter what your situation is, there's only one answer to the question, why. Have you ever asked the question, why am I having this happen? Okay, I'm going to give you the answer, and then you can never ask that question again. Because you will know why. But then the next thing is, what are you going to do knowing the real reason why this that you're having is there in your life? That's going to be the next question to ask after we answer this question. And so Jesus was visited by a bunch of Sadducees and Pharisees wanting to trick him into revealing that he was a blasphemer and all this crazy stuff before he was crucified. And they brought up to him someone who was blind, born blind. And they said to Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And some use this scriptural reference to make the case for reincarnation. Obviously, who sinned, his parents or him, that he was born blind, indicates that there must be some kind of pre-existing state for him to have sinned in. But apart from that, Jesus' reply was, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him." So the universal reason why we are having difficulty in our life is so that we can manifest the presence of God in our life experience. So we can demonstrate to ourselves that nothing and no one is against us. Because when we have the experience of transforming a situation that in one context looks and feels against us, but in a different context is absolutely our abundance, is a power that we have to experience. We have to awaken that capacity within us. And so while it's not our effort, it shouldn't be our effort to change what we're having, but to change who we are with what we're having. That's where the power is. That's where the power is, to change who we are being with whatever it is that we're having. That's what transforms what our experience is. Not having this be different. Because we're the same person with whatever we bring ourselves to. We have to be the one that's the difference. And so part of being with a situation that looks awful or terrible, like my destroyed career, I had to subject myself to reprimands and going to the principal's office, several times. Oh, by the way, I'm fully rehabilitated now. I've had my friends call me up and tell me I got to take a break from being your friend because watching you go through all this stuff is just too hard on me. Anyway, so here's the process for whatever you're having right now, how to transform it. Okay, so the first thing that we have to acknowledge is that in principle, whatever we're having is for us. Okay, so can you go there with me in principle? We're not tackling the actual situation just yet, but we're exercising some of the basic techniques that if we're going to be a black belt, we have to at least be able to stretch if we're to lift our leg up higher than the little kids. So I had a big martial arts school and I had over 100 5-year-olds. So it was very easy for me to kick those kids in the head. I am, sorry. The point is that absent of stretching and becoming flexible, you can't do some of the techniques. So the techniques that I'm going to be describing is something you have to practice, and it's better to practice on the things that aren't so huge. But if you got a huge thing, it's okay. You can practice on that as well. So the first thing is that you, if what you're having is your abundance, if that's a principle that you can align with, then the next thing is you have to prove it, right? You have a principle that whatever you have is your abundance. Whatever you have is for the purpose of manifesting the works of God. Whatever you have is for you. If you know that in principle, then the second thing is that you have to prove it. And you just can't prove it by just sort of nodding your head, but you actually have to be with your experience out of that assurance that this is for you. And what is the one way to be with it, whatever you're having? That is the true test as to whether or not you're receiving it as if it's a gift. Say again.
Gratitude.
The very first thing that we have to bring to whatever we're having that looks and feels against us is gratitude. It's counterintuitive, I know, but this is what happens. When you bring to whatever you're having in spite of, and indeed in the midst of its discomfort, you are creating a cognitive dissonance within yourself. How can this that feels so awful be for me? And it begins to open up your heart so that you can actually feel completely whatever it is that is associated with what you're having, to feel it. What's the saying? You have to feel it before you can heal it. Exactly. You have to feel what you're having because that's the part of your experience. But you're not trying to make those feelings go away. You're trying to own those feelings because they're a portal into that part of yourself that's living in the disconnect. Because you couldn't be with an experience and have it be against you unless you're living in your own disconnect. Can you see how that's so? And it's being with whatever we're having out of our sense of being more than enough that enables us to use what we're having as something that we can make whatever we had as our experience a testimony to the truth that it's always for us. You know, when I left the ministry, basically I left pulpit ministry because I was in disgrace. And I sort of dragged myself into this little small ministry in Fayetteville, Arkansas, believing that, you know, I was done with being involved in the movement. And later in the course of that process of really working on myself and seeing that I had created all my discomfort, everything that I was feeling victimized about, it, I saw how I was creating that. And part of being thankful for what we're having is being able to give the gift of seeing how those parts of us that aren't the truth of us, how they create what we're having, to be able to see that dynamic at work doesn't make itself apparent until we're open to being with what our experience is as an effect of something that we are helping to bring forth, because this is our purpose, to do the works of Spirit, to do the works of God. And it doesn't make a big difference to the world if it's easy. It makes a big difference to the world if it's something that's hard, and we're able to succeed in that and then be able to have all the people who are connected up with us be able to be lifted up as well. You know, in the short time that Jane and I have been here, I've already gone through a hard thing, you know, with my cancer. And I got to tell you, it wasn't hard in the sense of it being something that would have sort of really robbed my equanimity way back when, as I described when I was 30 years old. But now, being able to have, you know, 30 years of practicing nothing and no one is against me, it pays off. So for right now, I can have experiences as a life-threatening illness and use that experience to really heal my heart as well as my body. I could have the experience of losing my entire income and only discover that I had free time to work on myself. I lost 100 pounds when I lost a job. To take what you're having and use it to find your wholeness, to find your well-being, to find who you really are, is the purpose of difficult life situations. And the second thing that we need to do, in addition to having that sense of gratitude and appreciation for what we're having, because it invites us into a deep, authentic, real process of sorting out who we are from who we are not. In addition, we need to extend to ourselves, giving ourselves the gift of love and compassion, because that's the other side of it. That if we don't have, if we can't bring ourselves into owning what it is that we're having in the context that there is love to be brought forth, you know, love trumps hate. There's love to be brought forth. And when we recognize that what we're having is that calling for that love to come forth, then once we get with that program of being grateful, appreciative, and then extending ourselves compassion, all of a sudden what we're having doesn't have the same context anymore, doesn't have the same sense of being solid anymore. We begin to find ourselves with a sense of spaciousness, and then we can be with our experience and be in the question, who do I need to be with this that I'm having that translates this moment into my abundance, into my greater good? Because we can see that when we're being our inadequacy, or when we're being our unworthiness, or our sense of not enough, or being unlovable, that's what creates the discomfort associated with what we're having. Can you see how that's so? What creates a sense of empowerment with what we're having is to know that what we're having is for us. So I'll just close by saying, in this season of Advent, we're to celebrate the first Advent recognition of the quality of hope. You know, part of our effort in aligning with the energies of this holiday season is to recognizing that the circumstances of our life aren't against us, but we have to bring that hope, that understanding of principle to what this experience of our human family is going through, because it's huge. What's up is huge. And yet we have to be willing and able to kind of hold this that is huge. I can't believe I'm saying that. rubbing off on me. So this is a special time. We're blessed to be alive to witness the transformation of the planet. Now, on one level, it could look a lot worse and can get a lot worse. But on another level, we have to be midwife to this. And the only way that we can midwife this is that if we are healthy and whole within ourselves. Amen. Amen. God bless you.